The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Well, good morning, everyone. Tom Leach. I guess they're back from Auburn last night down on the plains. Kentucky losing at Auburn 76-66. So for this great Thursday edition of the Leach Report, we've got Ryan Lemon in the big chair and Shannon the Dude in Louisville. Shannon, good morning.
Who could blame Tom Leach for not wanting to do a show after that game last night?
I mean, amen.
It's so frustrating, man, because there's so many times in that game where they could have won the game. Like, I almost felt like they were going to win the game. And I look back to the Diallo three in the corner.
How did that ball change everything?
When they were up four, could have gone up seven. How did that ball not go in, man? And as soon as it didn't go, I was like, this is it. They're losing.
You're right, because it goes around and around and around and around. Just go in. Just drop. And like you said, then Kentucky's up seven. Instead, it rolls around and rolls around and rolls around and rolls out. Auburn goes the other way, cuts it to two, and man, it was on. It was on there. Auburn went on their run. So it is frustrating, but I agree with you. Kentucky played really well for 30 minutes, more than 30 minutes, good enough to win the game. It's just when your best player, Kevin Knox, disappears like he did again last, he just can't do that, man. He just can't.
Had a great first half. I think he had 12 points in the first half.
Was great. He was hitting everything.
But I'm not sure he took a shot in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah, he didn't take one to like 25 seconds left or something. I don't know, late, a minute left.
When it didn't matter at that point.
When it didn't matter. When you're the best player, you cannot disappear like that, especially when they need you. You heard Dokic, you know, talking about it, Knox's body language a lot. And
yeah.
You know, I know fans are going to talk a lot about that this week. It's hard to disagree with him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know, you're not going to outshoot Auburn from behind the three-point line. That's not going to happen. But you've got these guys with great wingspans. They have a height advantage over most of these teams that they're playing. Yet we don't take advantage of that, and that's what really drives me crazy about this team. It's like, go down low, you know, post somebody up. You know, PJ Washington did that a couple of times. And I think that he scored on a couple of different times that he actually did that. But I don't get it, man. We're not a three-point shooting team. They're still taking too many three-point shots, in my opinion. 3 of 14.
Yeah, and you caught Auburn on a night where they missed their first nine. They were 0 of 9 from three.
Yeah, they didn't shoot much better percentage-wise. They shot a lot more threes. But they're a team that can knock them down. You can't match twos and threes.
It's very frustrating, and I know the next couple of days, a lot of the frustration is going to be on Knox, how he kind of disappeared, and on Hami. You know, he did not play well and made some really, really bad mistakes. But, man, I'm like you. If that three had gone down the whole year, the season, his career could have turned around if that shot had gone down.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
Hami said a lot of things before the game. You know, he was taking ownership and his, you know, failures so far. In the last few games in this losing streak, but you can say the right things, but you got to go out there and play. It doesn't matter. You can talk all you want, but you know, he turned the ball over a couple of times, which was really crucial, and led to some points for Auburn. It's just tough, man. Yeah. They got to figure it out.
He had four turnovers and only played 16 minutes. You know, he only hit one shot. So it's going to be very, very frustrating. There were some positives. I think you heard Cal say after the game he liked the smaller lineup. You know, he went small and he kind of liked that. That may be something we see a lot more of, especially against these teams that don't have any big bruiser, big butt guys like A&M and Tennessee. I think we may see that smaller lineup a little more.
We may do that. I mean, Quade still is the guy that I feel confident taking the ball, and if anybody's going to shoot a three, I still feel confident in Quade. Do you feel like that, or are you kind of checked in on all the 3-point shooting?
No, I think you got to play him.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I think you got to play Quade and Shea together Knox, and you know he ran with Vanderbilt out there a long time, and then PJ and Winion. I mean, those were his six guys that he kind of hung with.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's going to have to do. So, very very frustrated. Fourth loss in a row.
Should have been five if we're being honest about it. Luckily, it's not.
Hey, should be six. That West Virginia game, you know.
Yeah. And then looking ahead, I mean, Joe Lenardi.
Alabama coming in Saturday. Holy cow.
Yeah, Joe Lenardi was on here the other day, and he said that Kentucky needs to finish 3-3 in their last six. So you got that one out of the way last night. Now you got to win three out of five. And you got Alabama coming in. You go to Arkansas, Missouri. Ole Miss should be a win, right?
You would think those.
But then you got to finish off at Florida. So
at Florida. First time Kentucky potentially may have a losing SEC record since 1989. Kentucky's only had a losing record in the SEC four times since the 20s.
Now, you don't go to the NCAA tournament with a losing conference record, right?
I would think not.
I would. You know, it's funny because just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about them playing for seeding. Now they're just playing to get into the tournament.
Now let's just get in it.
Yeah.
Let's just get in.
Do you realize, I mean, I was looking at the standings. Do you realize in the SEC they're only two games away from being in the bottom of the conference?
Oh, are you kidding now?
They have six wins. Vandy's in last place with four.
Because Ronnie LaChance hit a last-second three last night for a win for Vandy.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, he helped out Kentucky but hit one last night.
So 1989, they finished 8-10 in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
1967, they had a losing record when Rupp, and then twice in the 20s. It's amazing.
And in those four seasons, they never did win, or they never did make it to the tournament.
No.
In those seasons.
First time they've lost four since Billy Gillespie's second year, where they lost four in a row to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
We know how that year ended up. So, I don't know, man, it's frustrating. So, we got to talk about it, though. And again, Shannon and I do not want to dismiss in any way what has happened down in Florida. Down by Fort Lauderdale.
No.
Just horrific, horrible situation down there. I went down the rabbit hole this morning. I listened to Leland Conway's show on WHAS driving in. I was reading some things about it. It's horrible. And our thoughts and prayers with those families down there that, you know, Shane, you send your kid off to school in the morning, never crosses your mind.
No.
That a guy's going to come in with a gun and start shooting people. And now it does. And that's sad.
Very sad. And I'll echo exactly what you said. Thoughts and prayers to all the friends, the family and friends and everybody who knew those kids. Terrible situation. We got to figure this out, man. I don't know. I'm not going to get into politics and all that, but when we lead, I think, did Matt tweet out something about we lead the world?
Oh, by far.
In school shootings?
It's not even close. Not even close that United States leads the world in school shootings.
That's unbelievable.
It's becoming too frequent that you wake up the next day and it has happened somewhere else, so... We don't want to dismiss it at all, but we do have a radio show and we do need to move on. We do need to talk about some other things. Maybe it'll be a distraction for us a little bit here on the Leach Report. That's our Wildcat News of the Day, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Link to all the stories in the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. This is the Leach Report. Today's guest lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters. Todd Lanner should be here in a little bit. Justin Rowland coming up later in the show. Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. We'll be right back.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
That's Rat, Round and Round, senior year in high school, 1985.
I bet you had big hair.
Oh, I had great wavy curly hair. Put in the Rap cassette tape in my Pioneer speakers that I had in my 1980 gold Mustang. Oh, I just reeked of coolness.
When
man.
You get your hair back, are you going to play this song for nostalgic, you know, reasons?
Yeah. You know, they set it up. Dr. DeGinnis called me this week, right after March Madness, like first week of April. We're going to do it.
Awesome.
It's going to happen.
I cannot wait to see this. It's going to be great, man.
Welcome back to Leach Report. Ryan Lemon, Shannon the Dude. Leach Report, of course, presented by Wild Eggs. We are efforting Todd Lanter. I don't know. He may be like a lot of us. Just kind of woke up in a little bit of a funk this morning and like, oh, boy, here we go again. Another loss. Four in a row. Alabama coming in on Saturday. I mean, I'm telling you, I'd be anxious to hear from the fan base. I know a lot of people call KSR when we start that about just their optimism now for the rest of the season with three home games, two road games, and the SEC tournament. 502-571-1080. That's the phone number, 502-571-1080. We may skip over on Todd Lanter and just try to get Justin Rowland on early, Shannon.
He said he'd be on in 5 minutes. Justin Rowland said that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We can do that.
Yeah.
Now, let me just, while we're waiting on to get Justin back on, then let me ask you a couple things here.
Okay.
Because after the game, I always like to listen to Cal after the game. And, you know, after the Texas A&M game of the night, you know, you could just hear the frustration in his voice where he said, hey, you know, we're getting better. We're still learning. And then he said, but this is getting old.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Because he's right. You know, he's as frustrated as anybody.
But you got to keep your composure as a coach. You got to.
Yeah.
If you don't, you can't expect these 19-year-old kids to do that.
And he said something last night. I don't remember the exact quote, but he said something like, some of these kids just don't listen and they don't trust. Man, you know, here it is. It's mid-February. And, if the light bulb still hasn't gone on by now.
Yeah.
Because usually, you know, all of Cal's teams by now.
You get these losses out of the way in November and you peak in February.
They always do, don't they?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Play better in February. And we've seen guys just become superstars here late in the season. Carl Anthony Towns, you know, did it. So he said that last night, and it just that quote kind of scared me a little bit, that he knows by this time they should be well ahead of where they are, and they're not. He didn't mention anybody by name, but he said there's a couple kids that just don't listen and don't trust.
Mm-hmm. And he said he's felt them, too. I mean, you could take the blame as the coach, but...
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He said, I have failed them.
There's only so much blame I can put on Cal, though.
I agree. You know, there were a couple coaching decisions. I saw some people kind of questioning last night that he did. One was putting Tommy back in the game when the lineup that was out there was making a pretty good run.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. 502-571-1080. Shannon, you said we got a caller?
Yeah. Let's go to Stacy.
Stacy. Go ahead, Stacy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, man, listen, I've been a Cat fan my whole life, and I'm 55 years old. We got tons of talent on this team, but our problem is we don't share the ball. I mean, I've watched them play fast breaks. They got guys trailing them. They won't pass. They go in for the dramatic dunk or layup, and sometimes they get fouled, sometimes they don't. I just feel like we got tons of talent, but we got a couple of guys on here that – just are not listening. They're trying to do the supernatural, and it's just not working. They're not gelling. We've seen this before. I mean, 14 was a team that finally came together, but good Lord, man, I mean, these guys are just not gelling. I mean, I know they're kids, and I appreciate that, and I think Cal's doing his job. How much harder can you coach? I'm tired of hearing people say he can coach. I mean, how much harder can you stomp and coach and teach them fundamentals? I mean, they're trying, but they're being stubborn.
Yeah, well, Stacy, you're right. I think you say a lot of the things that the whole fan base is thinking today, and it is just so frustrating because, like the first thing you said, man, the talent's there. We've seen it. We've seen these guys play well.
I mean, I'm a big stat guy. If you don't have 14 to 16 assists a game, you don't have a chance to win. And we're barely getting out of single digits the majority of the time. You know, turnovers I can deal with if they're aggressive, but a lack of assists, no.
Well, you bring up a good point because I don't know when what the stat – you may know it, Stacy, but our turnover to assist ratio, we've not had more assists than turnovers, I bet, and then maybe one or two SEC games all year. I don't know the exact number.
It's not even close. It's not even close. I mean,
yeah.
we're probably averaging 9 assists a game and 13, 14 turnovers. I mean, if we're lucky, we're averaging 12.
Well, that's exactly what it was last night. 9 assists, 14 turnovers last night. And I tell you, and this is just me, it seemed to our assist-to-turnover ratio was pretty good earlier this year. But when Kwadi got hurt and they made the switch at point guard, it has not been the same.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, and you know, when I'll tell you, when Knox takes a three out of rhythm, he's deadly. But just like they said last night, the majority of our threes are coming from off the dribble, and you don't make those threes very often.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have Tayshaun Prince anymore.
I wish we did. Stacey, we appreciate it, man. Appreciate the call. Yeah.
All right.
Tayshaun, we'd take him in a second. 502-571-1080. Okay, Shane, you said we got another call. Who we got?
Let's go to Lance.
Lance, go ahead, Lance.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's going on, Lance?
Well, first off, as a fan, I feel kind of foolish all the waiting we did on Hamidou Diallo last year, like he was going to be a program changer, waiting for that decision. I think we all kind of looked foolish on that. But something to point out, this is the first time in Calipari's career where there have been more than two decent teams in the conference he's playing. I mean, Duke doesn't own the country with their one-and-done philosophy either, but I think this year has shown when you're in a halfway decent conference, a team full of one-and-dones will not get it done.
Lance, we appreciate it. You know, the point is right about the SEC is just really, really good this year. I mean, it is really good. His other point about Hami, you know, we weren't the only ones maybe feeling a little foolish. NBA scouts were all about him last year. They, you know, he probably would have been drafted late in the first round last year and didn't even play.
Is he projected anywhere? I haven't checked the NBA projections
on the draft. I think
the
last Chad Ford mock draft had him out of the first round, but he had been in the first round up until just recently, I think. So,
yeah.
And we're looking at it. So he said, we got to take a break?
Got to take a break.
All right. Ryan Lemon, Shannon the Dude on this gloomy Thursday edition of the Leach Report, 502-571-1080. We'll talk to Justin Rowland and try to wake up Todd Lanner when we come back. Leach Report presented by Wild Eggs. Don't go away.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
A highly underrated Hootie and the Blowfish song right there.
You know, I play so much Darius Rucker on here. Sometimes I got to dig deep into the archives because I get tired of hearing the same songs over and over.
You pulled a great one. This is one of my favorites. Highly underrated song.
Yep.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Cracked Rearview, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not this one. Not this one. I don't think this one's not on Cracked Rearview.
Oh, this is a different one.
Yeah.
Scattered, smothered, and covered.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. That's it. All right, we only got about a minute. We want to get this call on before we get out of here. Who we got up?
William.
Go ahead, William. We got about a minute.
Hey, guys, I don't want to take too much time. I got a lot of stuff I could talk about, but I just want to say, if I'm on the team and I am Sasha Kalea Jones, I am off today because, in my opinion, Jones has way better hands and can do a lot more to bring energy than Nick Richards. Nick Richards can't do anything. He can sometimes put back a dunk off a missed shot, but he can't block out. He can't guard. He can't come up with loose balls. It's like his hands don't match his eyeballs, and I can't figure him out for the world. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. And,
okay. All right, William.
I hope you guys have a good day, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Now, to Sasha Clay Jones, to his defense, he left the team this week to attend the funeral of his grandfather, so he was gone.
Yeah.
I don't even know when he came back, but that may be one reason why he did not play last night. We'll take a break. Come back. Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs. Don't go away.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
All right, welcome back. Ryan Lemon in the big chair for Tom Leach, who down on the plains last night for the 76-66 loss to the Auburn Tigers. You know, they did the crossover thing last night where Dick Vitale and Bill Walton did some NBA games,
yeah,
and PJ Carlissimo did our game last night with Dan Dockage.
What did you think?
Actually, that's pretty good. I mean,
Adam Amin was in there.
Yeah, Adam Amin. The chemistry between Dockage and Carlissimo was pretty good, you know, pointing out things during the game. And I kind of enjoyed it, to be honest.
Now, I woke up this morning and I looked on Twitter, and the number one trend was Bill Walton. So apparently he said some crazy things during the game. I didn't get to watch any of that game that he was calling.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I didn't either. He was number one trending nationally?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Like this morning.
He must have really said some whacked out things last night. He must have got a hold of the funny stuff before the game like he does sometimes, I think. Just kidding. Allegedly. All right, welcome back. Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs, 502-571-1080. Go to our guest lineup today, presented by Sleep Outfitters. And as always, Justin Rowland joining the Leach Report this morning. Good morning, Justin.
Brian, how's it going, man?
Well, before we get into a lot of your forte, what were your thoughts about the Auburn game last night?
Man, they picked like the two worst times to possibly go cold. You know, at the beginning of the game, 8 turnovers in the first 8 minutes, and then, you know, the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, you know, in that environment, one of the toughest home court advantages in the SEC, you can't start slow and end slow. And I thought they were going to have another West Virginia-type performance, but they just had one of those patented cold stretches and just a missed opportunity.
Yeah, what was it? Was it at the 12-minute TV timeout of the second half, they had, was that when they had the 4-point lead or they had a 3-point lead or something? And I remember thinking to myself, man, is there just a little magic left that they can hold on and pull this out? Be so huge for the season, for the locker room, for the fan base, for everybody.
I saw you on Twitter last night, you know, posted what if Diallo had hit that 3-pointer from the corner and it rimmed out 2 points the other way, and that really sparked Auburn. You know, I thought Knox's defense it left a lot to be desired late in the game. And it's just a fragile team right now. That Alabama game looms large. They lose that, and I think the tournament questions definitely become real.
Yeah. Hey, Shannon and I talked about this earlier in the show, but what do you think about Calipari's comments last night? He said after the game, said something like, man, we've still got some guys that just don't listen and don't trust.
Yeah, he said stuff like that some previous years, but I couldn't help think about what Andy Kennedy said about his team. You know, you can't compare Cal and Andy Kennedy. I mean, Cal's done a great job at Kentucky, but just Kennedy saying, I can't get this team to listen. They're not buying into what I'm saying, and I kind of sense that exasperation reading those comments from Cal.
Yeah, because he also said last night, I failed them. You know, I give him credit. He does fall on the sword and doesn't throw the players under the bus. You know, he's trying to take responsibility for what's going on right now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who are criticizing Cal, you know, the difference I would say is this was determined in the offseason when the roster came together, and the roster didn't come together the way that it could have come together. I think this was an offseason problem more than I don't look at this team and say, well, if they do this or if they do this, then that's the fix. I just think that the parts aren't really fitting together.
Now, of course, your forte is football, and I saw something I think you'd posted that was on Cats Illustrated about 5 schools that are popular in South Florida or that South Florida needs to be excited about, and I was kind of surprised that Kentucky was listed among top 5 schools in South Florida football recruiting.
I got to be honest, man. I for 2 or 3 years, I was an idiot. I was saying that Kentucky's going to have a hard time recruiting South Florida because how many South Florida kids, frankly, honestly, want to live in Lexington, Kentucky? It's just there's kind of a cultural disconnect between Miami, and I thought that it was going to be an issue for Kentucky ever recruiting at a high level down there. But Eddie Graham has proven it's all about assistant coaches and the relationships they have with players and the relationships they have with coaches in particular places. And it's amazing to see Kentucky in the same breath as Tennessee, Florida, Florida State, and schools like that. It's really unbelievable.
I'm like you. I mean, if Kentucky's able to get into South Florida in the Miami area and pull some kids out of there, I mean, I've said this before, Justin, this football staff doing things recruiting, I never thought was possible at Kentucky. Never. To pull these great kids out of Ohio, getting kids out of, number one kid out of Michigan. And if they go down into South Florida, I mean, it's amazing, really.
Yeah, and they've gotten some guys that have pretty good offers down there. But Jordan Wright, 2 years ago, had Florida, Florida State. Keontra Smith, their 2019 commit, got an offer from Florida. I mean, last year, Davion Hawkins committed to Kentucky, camped at Miami, got the offer from Miami. Miami had the number one class in the country, and he said, thanks, but no thanks, I'm still going to Kentucky. So it's really amazing that they're beating out some of those top programs down there.
What's the other buzz then coming out on the UK football recruiting side?
Well, they're just switching gears to 2019. Coaches are out on the road offering guys. It would be interesting to see what they do at quarterback next year. There's so much turnover at the quarterback position. They could take one or two guys. They're bringing up a guy. He's 5'11", Nick Scalzo, later on this month. But he's got some Johnny Manziel-type qualities.
Really?
And Eddie Graham's recruit. Yeah, 5'11", runs around, very accurate. And he's coming up later on, and I think he's going to commit to Kentucky if they would take him. I think he would be a really exciting player.
He's in the 2019 class?
2019, yep, especially if they take two quarterbacks. I think they'll take a bigger guy, but this guy is a sleeper, Nick Scalzo. Don't sleep on him anymore.
What about, I guess, the two new coaches that have stepped in? They've come in and hit the ground running on the recruiting end, I understand.
Yeah, Michael Smith was Arkansas's best recruiter in Louisiana for like two decades, and that was a monster hire, I think. The top recruiter on Brett Bielema's staff, he's offering a bunch of guys down in Louisiana. They only could get two or three guys down there per year, I would imagine. And Brad White, a Rhode Island guy, an East Coast guy, an NFL guy, he's hammering the East Coast, but they're going to try to open up maybe some more Josh Allen types from New Jersey, open up the DMV, the Mid-Atlantic a little bit more, so tapping into new territory with those guys.
Just kind of one more thing. I got all these football questions now I'd like to ask you. I know Tom may have already asked you this, but with the Eli Wright leaving the team, did that surprise you, or where do you think he may end up?
That did surprise me. You know, 2 years ago, preseason, he was locked in a neck-and-neck battle with Jordan Wright for the starting Will position. And, you know, he had like 38 tackles this year. He was going to be the backup to Jordan Jones again, but he could have finished his Kentucky career with like 200 tackles. He was going to be the starter in 2019, and that's what surprised me. He was in line to get a lot of playing time, and I think that's a little bit of a blow to their inside linebacker depth.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, when Jones was hurt, man, Eli played really well, I felt like, you know?
Yeah, he stepped in against South Carolina, and he was a big part of that best defensive effort of the season, winning in Columbia there, and he went down, and Boogie Watson made that big goal line stand. So maybe their depth's better than I'm giving it credit for. But he was a highly ranked recruit, and I had high hopes for him.
So any word on where he may go? Any idea? I mean, I think I called him Eli Wright, Eli Brown. Any idea where he may end up?
I was just told that he and his family are talking about it, and it's got to be the right fit for he and his family. So I would assume he's still going to end up pretty close to home. He was committed to Vanderbilt. I don't think he's not going to transfer into conference, but I think he'll probably stay pretty close to home if he can.
All right, he is Justin Rowland on Twitter. He's at Roland Rivals. Man, we appreciate it. I know you do a good job when you come on Tom's show, so thanks for coming on today, man.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Shannon. Take care.
All right, Justin Rowland. Rowland at Roland Rivals on Twitter. We'll take our break, come back, talk more about the Kentucky Wildcats. All points bulletin out for Todd Lanter, Shannon.
Still no word?
Still no word. Don't know where. I guarantee he's snoozing.
You think so?
He's sleeping. Mad about what happened last night. We'll be right back. Leach Report, served by Wild Eggs.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
All right, welcome back. Ryan Lemon in the big chair for Tom Leach today on the Leach Report, served up, as always, by Wild Eggs. Phone lines are open, 502-571-1080 if you want to get on board. A lot of frustration across Big Blue Nation today, obviously, as there has been the last couple weeks with their fourth loss in a row, losing last night at Auburn 76-66. After it looked like about midway through the second half, maybe there was still a little magic in that bottle. They were able to pull off that huge win that could have just turned everything around. The season, the locker room, the fan base, to get that win at Auburn, the first place team, best team right now in the SEC. To beat them on their home floor when it was insane. People waiting at 6 o'clock last night, 3 hours before the game to try to get in. That doesn't happen down at Auburn, trust me, when it comes to a basketball game. You saw how the stadium was set up with the stadium, the students all along the bottom of the stadium. You know, how awesome is that? That's something Rupp Arena should do, could do eventually someday. It's a great environment, but Kentucky came out. Auburn was 0 of 9 to start the game for threes. Kentucky's hanging around in there. You heard Justin Rowland, though, when you had 8 turnovers in the first 8 minutes and then crucial turnovers late in the game. It's like they couldn't take care of the ball. They got in a hurry, tried to force things. Your best player, Kevin Knox, disappears after he was awesome for about the first 30 minutes. And then he didn't even take a shot. Didn't even get his hands on the ball for several times down the floor. Just very, very frustrating. And I don't know if there's any kind of magic answer it's going to turn around here anytime soon with five games left for the SEC tournament. All right, 502-571-1080. Who we got up, Shannon?
Jose.
Jose is up. Hello, Jose.
Hey, you know, I know these guys are young. I know it's a tough and stressful environment, you know, but with 8 or 10 minutes left in a ball game, Hami had a couple balls stripped, lost the ball a couple times, went back to sit on the bench. Cal was talking to him, and it was an absolute stonewall. You know, it's just frustrating to have these kids. You know, they're kids, I understand, but, you know, the attitude, I turned the game off after that. You know, I couldn't watch, you know, that attitude, I don't know. It just, that puzzled me there. I didn't think that was.
Well, Jose, you're the second guy today that has mentioned that incident of Cal and Hami on the bench because you know the cameras
well,
caught it.
Tuned in about 10 minutes ago, so
yeah. But just the fact you're the second guy to bring it up shows you how that resonated in our fan base. You know, are frustrated with how Hami's playing, and then he acts that way on the bench. It's not a good look for him.
And the Kentucky fan base, if you put your heart on the court, Kentucky fans will love you. You know, I mean, it's you're held up on the highest level. Kentucky fans will love you. You know, but with an attitude like that, it just that puzzles me. You know, I would rather put in somebody at the end of the bench. But I appreciate y'all, and I'll get off.
All right, Jose, appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. 502-571-1080. But you know, Matt and Shannon and I have talked about Hami, where he's one of the few guys that when he plays, man, he's busting his tail and he's playing hard and he's trying to. You know, do the right things, but, man, going into the season when he was our second best player, everybody agreed. Knox was the best, Hami's the second best, and now he played 16 minutes. I mean, Calipari didn't have him in when he needed him to, but then Cal put him in. Oh, Kentucky's making that big run, and then Cal put him in, and it just went back into a funk.
You know, it can be a good thing and a bad thing to not have one guy that you depend on, and this team hasn't. I mean, there's been different players who have stepped up in different games. It hasn't always been Knox. It's, you know, when maybe one game it's Knox, one game it's Quad A, maybe one game it's Shea.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that can be a bad thing when you don't have somebody to go to when you're down on the road against the top 10 team like Auburn.
Amen. You're exactly right. Who we got next in, Shannon?
Let's go to Ryan.
Ryan, go ahead, Ryan.
Thanks for taking my call. Ryan, this team, you know, we're on a losing streak. They used to call January slump or February slump or whatever, but I just hope we get on a winning streak, and I'm just going to keep hoping that we'll turn it around, and hopefully we can beat Alabama Saturday and get it going. But, man, the SEC is so tough. I can't remember the SEC, and I go way back being this, you know, tough from top to bottom. There's just so many good teams.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people get tired of hearing it, but we got a young team. We don't have any experience. So that's a lot of just – I want to ask you a question. This Ty Winyard situation, can you explain what happened to him going to that party? Because this dude that he was hanging with or went with, they had a picture of him in the paper. I'm an old guy, and that guy looked like a criminal. I mean, you know, I don't know nothing about the guy or whatever, but I just hope Ty Winyard gets his head on straight and comes back. But I just want you to explain it to me because I don't understand it all. Thank you.
All right, Ryan, appreciate it. And to be honest, I don't know all the details either. You know, just
we don't think Ty is coming back, do we?
No, I think the feeling is you'll never see him in a Kentucky Wildcat uniform again. You know, he's been suspended indefinitely, won't play anymore this year. Highly doubtful we see him back next year, you know. He made some decisions and some mistakes that's going to probably haunt him now. But I don't know all the details though, Ryan, about the party and all that. I just know that.
Come on, man, you're a scoop. You're supposed to. You're supposed to know all this stuff. That's how we get all of our information from you.
Well, you know, I gave you the scoop. I saw him walking the wrong way up Waller Avenue a couple weeks ago. What more do you want?
Well, that's true. You,
in the middle of the day when the team's probably practicing, he's walking up Waller Avenue.
You knew he was going the wrong way
with no backpack or books.
Had to be up to something bad.
See. All right, so you got another caller?
Got a couple more. Let's go to Greg.
Okay. Greg, go ahead, Greg.
Morning, Ryan.
Good morning, sir.
First off, let me say enjoy talking to you guys and listening to you every morning.
Thank
always
you,
appreciate
sir.
You. Couple of things that are just so frustrating right now for all of us. Number one, I don't want to bash any kids. I mean, I know, I think those kids are all giving pretty good effort most of the time. I mean, it's frustrating when they give up. Seems like, say, Kevin last night talking about bad body language, that kind of stuff. Just don't give up on us. I mean, just keep fighting. You got to get tough. That makes me question our, I hate to say it, but our strength coach. I don't know if we had a good strength coach since Rock Oliver was there. Because right now we've got about the weakest physical players. I mean, I'm tired of watching guys get the ball smacked out of their hands.
Yeah.
You know, that's frustrating. Shooting, obviously, is one thing. We don't have enough shooters. Love to see some shooters. And love Cal. Would not trade him for any coach in the country. But right now, I am so mystified at our out-of-bounds play underneath the basket. This stuff with some guy holding his hand up. We can't pass the ball good to begin with. Then we're trying to hit a hand that's held up in the air.
Preach it.
And we're not
preach it, Greg.
Or anything.
Yeah. All right, man. Greg, appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. You're right. You've heard Matt and I talk about that out-of-bounds play situation all year. All right, we got to take a break. A final break, final segment coming up, 502-571-1080. We'll be right back. Leach Report, served up by Wild Egg. All right, hey, final segment. Phone lines are packed. We're going to get everybody on. Look, we're going to bring you on. You got 30 seconds. Go. We want everybody to get a chance. So who we got first, Shannon?
Rob.
Rob, you got 30 seconds. Go, Rob.
Hey, this is Rob. Hey, Ryan, you are the backbone of Kentucky Sports Radio. I want you to know that. Look, these guys are young. Okay, we've heard that. But there is nothing wrong with them physically. They're strong. They're fast. It's just a mental breakdown they're having. If we love them and we get off social media, rack them on the team, let these guys get a breather, I think they'll come around. And if not, Cal's got it solved. Look what we got coming next year. Wish these guys the best. Hope some of them will stick around. But it's just mental. There's nothing to do with the talent. Love you guys.
All right, Rob. Thanks, man. Good phone call right there. Appreciate it, Rob. All right, Shannon, who's next?
Joe.
Joe, go ahead, Joe. You got 30 seconds, bud.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know what I think the problem is. And I've been watching Kentucky basketball ever since I was 9 years old. And I'm 55-year old. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It's Amadou Diallo. That boy got an attitude with a coach. He's going to have an attitude, and he's going to be a bully out on the court, too. And those other players don't like that, and they don't like playing with him. I can guarantee you, if he set that boy down, if he'd set him down and play somebody else in his place, you'd see a different team.
All right, Joe, appreciate it, man. You know, he has been sitting Hami. Hami hadn't played much. Played 16 minutes last night. I think he played 13 a game back. So he has been sitting quite
I don't know if we got right. Do we have any more? I don't think we have time to get to him anymore.
Okay, I was going to say we're going to squeeze in another one there.
Do you have your Donato slice of Wildcat history?
No, no birthdays, no Donato slice of history, no nothing. He left me here. I know what the Donato slice of history is. Last night stunk.
Yeah.
They got beat on Valentine's Day in 1998. Cameron Mills and Jeff Shepard and that team lost on Valentine's Day to Ole Miss. They went ahead to win the national championship that year.
There you go.
I'd like to think maybe that can happen this year.
It was a point of Valentine's optimism Day. Right there.
There we go. And they won the championship in, what was it, 58, 78, 98, 2018. It's the time. It's the time it's supposed to happen. All right. Stay tuned. Kentucky Sports Radio coming up on some of these stations. Tom Leach will be back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report.